Hello, compost lovers, and welcome back to Season 4, Episode 4 of The Composter. I'm excited today to bring you a story from somewhere tropical. I first heard about Grupo Punta Cana's new composting initiative while reading a BioCycle article, and I've been eager to dig in ever since. Their journey, led by Jake Keel, offers a fascinating model of sustainability, scale, and innovation in the Dominican Republic. Grupo Punta Cana isn't just a resort. It's a whole resort ecosystem. Thousands of residences, multiple hotels, restaurants, golf courses, even their international airport. The amount of waste generated is huge, and plenty of that is organics. So when Jake and his team set out to reduce landfill, cut hauling costs, and improve guest experiences, they had to get serious. They've had a series of trials as they scaled up, from vermicomposting to small in-vessel systems to the newly installed EarthFlow composting system, an enclosed automated setup from Green Mountain Technologies. Jake's vision for Grupo Punta Cana goes beyond just compost. He's aiming for 70 to 80% landfill diversion across the resort and its surrounding operations. And more importantly, he's helping shape what sustainability in tourism can actually look like. Let's get into it. Here's my conversation with Jake Keel of Grupo Punta Cana. This episode is brought to you by AgriLab Technologies. Visit them at agrilabtech.com/podcast and Compost Systems of Austria at compost-systems.com. Welcome to The Composter, a podcast for compost lovers. I'm your host and fellow composter, Jane Murner. Through real conversations with composters and industry professionals, we are digging deep into the science, technology, and art of compost production. Whether you're managing a large-scale site or just compost curious, this podcast is here to inform, inspire, and connect us all as part of a growing movement to enliven the world's soils. In 2023, I went with my son on a compost tour of Austria through the International Solid Waste Association. Maybe not your typical family vacation, but ideal for the two of us. I was impressed with the 30 years Austria has thoughtfully developed a whole nation compost system, which started with the 1992 ban on food scraps being landfilled. A steady voice in Austria's composting world is Aurel Lubka of Compost Systems of Austria. Like me, Aurel carries his father's legacy, restoring soil fertility through quality compost. With an engineer's mindset and a farmer's heart, he turned that passion into Compost Systems of Austria, now a proud sponsor of this podcast. Compost Systems of Austria is your engineering partner for state-of-the-art composting facilities, from small open sites to large enclosed plants and everything in between. With full odor control, they handle everything: process and facility design, odor and emission management, plastic removal, moisture control, logistics optimization, and the most reliable compost turners on the market. Contact Compost Systems directly at compost-systems.com or through their North American partner, Green Mountain Technologies, at compostingtechnology.com. This summer, I visited Vermont Natural Ag Products, the home of Mudu Compost. One thing that really stood out was an innovative system from AgriLab Technologies that both speeds the compost process using aeration and captures thermal heat from the compost to warm the Mudu bagging barn. Ingenious. I reached out to Brian at AgriLab Technologies afterwards, and I'm thrilled to share that they now generously sponsor this podcast. AgriLab Technologies provides solutions for efficient composting. Their team works with farmers, commercial, institutional, and municipal composters to save energy, labor, and space on your site. Their modular compost aeration equipment and technical support services improves process control, making better compost faster, with less odor and impact. They can also capture renewable thermal energy from composting to heat nearby buildings, wash water, and for drying finished compost. Build your soil and burn less oil. Reach out to AgriLab Technologies today. Visit us at agrilabtech.com/podcast. Hey, Jake, welcome to The Composter. I'm super happy to have you on the show.
Hi there. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Excellent. So you're talking to us today from the Dominican Republic.
That's right. Punta Cana, Dominican Republic.
All the way on that eastern tip of the Dominican?
That's right.
That's cool. Cool. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing, how you got into this, about your resort. Our listeners know nothing, and it's the first time we've had a resort on that is composting. So I'm super excited to hear what you have to say and how you got into composting there.
Sure. So we work in the tourism industry here in Dominican Republic. And our company, Grupo Punta Cana, is a resort that it's a little more diverse than simply what you might think of as like a hotel, where we have not only 3 hotel properties and a 4th in construction. We have real estate developments where we have private residences. And then we also own and operate the Punta Cana International Airport. So it's a private airport. Oh. And so in our property, if you kind of look around at the diversity of activities we have, we generate a pretty large amount of waste just as a single company. So between all of the different groups that we have on property, we generate about 22 to 25 tons of garbage on average a day. And so the way that it works in Dominican Republic, and it's evolved over the years, is that the garbage is picked up privately, and then it's sent to what today is now close to a sanitary landfill where it used to be just sort of a dump site. Mm-hmm. And so we were always, as a company, very concerned principally about how do we have a better management structure for our solid waste? How do we do it in an environmentally responsible way, taking into account, you know, health considerations for local communities and the standards of the country when we really started our project in 2007, really weren't up to international standards. And our goal was really to meet those standards. And if you look at municipal solid waste in general, generally about 50 to 60% of that material is organic. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to have a responsible solid waste management program as a company and as a resort, generally speaking, you have to think about the organics. And so we went through a multi-year process to figure out what was the best way to deal with those about 50% or say five to 10 tons a day of organic material. And that led us to composting.
That's great. I saw too that you kind of helped with the solid waste laws, getting them passed in the Dominican. I imagine that's like a evolving process. I'm just curious of where that's at today. It sounds like everything isn't source separated by people and households, is it? Or everything comes in at once and then it's separated at the sites? I'm just curious about from the beginning to end, how is this working? How is this organic stream getting separated out? And then what's the composting process at the moment?
Yeah, and I think we tried to be pretty strategic about it. Because we have private residences and we have well over 2,000 private residences, and some of them are short-term rental properties, it's very difficult to get good penetration in those homes in terms of getting really good classification at the source. And in the big scheme of things, generally the houses produce less solid waste than our own kitchens, restaurants, hotels, and the airport. Those are really our kind of largest contributors to solid waste. So we've put a lot of effort into source separation at those big generation sites. And in some of our kitchens, we've even used technologies where we're actually weighing food waste and calculating what that food waste is valued at, and really creating incentives to not only just separate the material, but also to reduce what we're producing in our own operations. So I think in general, at our waste sorting facility, the vast majority of the small producers, which are individual homes, apartments, condos, things like that, it comes semi-sorted in the best case scenario and not very sorted more often than not, I think, like a lot of cities in the United States. And then at our big sites, our kitchens, our employee kitchen, which does meals for 2,500 employees a day, those come pretty well sorted. And so we pull the organics out of those, and the recycled materials are much cleaner as well.
Okay. So could you walk us through that system from that sorting and then through the types of feedstocks you have? I hear you have horse manure and the process that you're doing currently, and then maybe a little bit of history as well of what you tried and didn't work. It's a big question.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So essentially, we have our own private waste collection company that does the door-to-door pickup. So they have established routes and they have days that they pick up certain neighborhoods or certain businesses. And generally, for many of the businesses, it's every day for the big kitchens and things like that. And then for private residences, it's on a schedule, a weekly schedule, a couple times a week. And so then we pick up the waste, and in best case scenario, the plastics and recyclable materials are sort of sorted out on a single stream. And then they go to our Senvare, which is our waste valorization center. And Senvare, then we have a sorting line where it goes up through a sorting line, sort of a small MRF you might see in the United States, where you have a conveyor belt that brings the materials up, goes through a trommel where we get rid of smaller materials and liquids, goes over a table where we pull out the recyclable material, and then that leftover material we sort for the organics and those kind of materials that we can compost. But in many of our big kitchens, we're pulling the compost out in the kitchen, and then that's going straight to the compost facility, which is directly adjacent to our Center for Valorization. So that's generally how it works. So we pick it up around the property, bring it to the waste center, it gets sorted, and then it gets kind of diverted in whether it's recyclable, whether it's going to our compost, or whether it's then ultimately going to end up in the sanitary landfill.
Okay, that's a huge process right there, just doing that.
Yes.
So once the organics are separated out, and I imagine this is humans with grabbers and things like that and gloves?
Yes,
or,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay, yep. So they've separated out the organics, and a lot of that's food scraps. And then is there a recipe for carbon and nitrogen and different things? Like, what's happening next?
There is, and I'd say we're still fine-tuning this. We've installed what's called an earth flow system. And so essentially this is a design system that has aeration coming out of the floor. So we have a specialized aeration that comes in the floor of the pile. And then we've built a warehouse or a tunnel system. And then the earth flow, essentially what is a mechanical auger that spins in circles, and then it goes back and forth along the side of the pile of the tunnel. So it's just manually moving all that material. And so we've done this by phases. So it took us quite a bit of time to build out that tunnel to the specs of Green Mountain Technologies, and then install the system, go through commissioning. And really what we're working on now is building an area where we can shred and include our green waste, which is kind of the second phase. So we're looking really at about 2-to-1 green waste and shredded coconut fronds and things like that, and then adding about the one part of food waste and other types of waste.
Okay. So you haven't gotten to that part yet. You're still working on the shredding part?
We just haven't brought it up to scale, because the shredding of that green material requires more specialized equipment. And that was sort of our phase two. So we've been using someone else's shredder and just paying for it on a contract basis. So ultimately, the goal of this earth flow system will be able to handle between 5 and 10 tons a day between the carbon material and the kind of wet material coming out of the kitchens. But we're still at a much smaller scale at the moment until we get our shredding facility up and running, which It's under construction right now and the equipment's ordered. So I think hopefully by the very beginning of 2026, we'll be really cranking up the volume of material.
Okay. And I saw you had tried other methods as well. Can you give us a little bit of history? So it sounds like you don't have a finished batch of compost yet from the earth flow. Is that true?
We do. We do. Just not, 10 tons. It's like a ton and a half or so. We definitely have material from this system, but we've been experimenting with all types of composting and other ways of handling organic materials for years. Our zero waste project started in 2007. And essentially what we did was we handed over the responsibility of testing different ways to handle the amount of organic material we handle to our foundation. And so our foundation was using all kinds of technology, starting with worm composting at a very small scale, and then worm composting at a much larger scale with a continuous flow bed that we built here in the Dominican Republic. Then we moved into incorporating aerated static bins. So these kind of stationary bins, you have aeration underneath. And we found that that was working pretty well, particularly if we used horse manure from the Polo Farms and from our horse ranch. And we can miss some food waste in there, but it was very difficult to get a homogeneous material coming out of that with food waste to then feed to worms. And this was material that we've been selling for many years. And so we went to a larger system of aerated static bin that we designed ourselves. Then we moved into aerated static piles, which are much longer tubes that were handling the manure and some food waste, and even experimenting with sargassum seaweed, which we've had a big problem with on some of our beaches. We've worked with biodigester units, like small scale biodigester units, and a few experiments with that. And then that led us really to come up with a solution that's going to be a workable solution at scale for food waste, because we'd been playing around really on the margins with some food waste, mostly horse manure, some green waste, and we're producing good compost and selling it and using it locally. but we really weren't solving our big issue of how do we deal with tons of food waste every day in and out in a solution that doesn't smell, doesn't attract pests, is going to be fairly cost effective and not require millions of dollars, and is really going to divert a significant amount of the waste that currently was going to the sanitary landfill or to pig farmers locally and turn it into something much higher value.
Okay. And so how is that finished compost being used? Is it being used on the resort or is it more than
the resort? That's right. Yeah. The resort could probably absorb as much as we produce because we have a huge amount of green areas and green space that we maintain as a company. Then we have private residences that are consumers of our compost and of soils for both doing the landscape design for new homes, but also for general maintenance for existing homes. Then we also have golf courses. And really, the original idea of the worm compost was to produce something that could compete with existing products that were used on the golf course, like Milorganite and other things that they're using for fertilizers. And so we have plenty of green space. I don't think we'll ever probably cover 100% of the need, but we've also been experimenting using it for production of vegetables and herbs and things like that at a very small scale. So we have more than enough demand for the material. And the question is more about getting the scale really built up and really determining how long of a process do we need? How fine of a compost material are we really interested in? Or is it much more of a solution for organic food waste instead of sending it to the landfill and all of the many problems that that causes? Do we have like a solution that's just good enough and we don't have to have the finest compost on the market? We could really just compete with the existing soils people are using.
Okay. So you're getting clarity as you get your systems honed in there. And so it sounds like a lot of different systems that you trialed. What were some of the biggest challenges you faced when starting out and any key lessons learned or mistakes other resorts could avoid there with the different systems?
Yeah, I think there is a process. You really want to figure out what is the character of the materials that you're going to be managing and the volumes and amounts. And one of our early discoveries is that there's lots of products on the market and tons of magic solutions for dealing with organic waste and tons of amazing technologies, but they might either not be applicable to you or they might not actually be commercially viable at the moment. Someone might be just testing something on you to see if you're willing to invest in it, and then they kind of use you as their guinea pig. Mm-hmm. And so it's very important to know what are the materials you have on hand, how easy is it to get a hold of them, what are the kind of competitions in the market, which is just really kind of interesting. We're actually competing now with pig farmers for this organic waste. And then also, what is a technology that is going to be easy to manage locally? You know, we live in Dominican Republic, we're on an island. It's not easy to get replacement parts for sophisticated equipment. And we want things that are very off the shelf, easy to replace, easy to maintain, and can be trained locally. And that's mm-hmm. generally what led us to the Earthflow. We feel like the equipment is not anything that we couldn't fix here locally or be able to manage locally. And it's something we could scale. And it was still at a price point where we could handle the amount of garbage we need to handle. And then eventually we could continue to grow and add a second tunnel or a third tunnel, depending on how much waste we ultimately produce as our company.
Okay, that's great.
This episode is brought to you by AgriLab Technologies. Visit them at agrilabtech.com/podcast and Compost Systems of Austria at compost-systems.com. Hey, listeners, we are looking for sponsors to help pay for the Composter podcast. Do you have a tool, app, or gear that composters should know about? This is a very targeted audience of composters and farmers around the world that want to know about what will make our compost businesses better. Advertise with us by emailing info@earthcarefarm.com.
Have you seen a little culture shift as your staff is really involved with the organic separating and compost production, or guest perception as a result of the composting efforts?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the challenges here is there really wasn't the infrastructure when we started this project in 2007 to even do common recycling. Like, there just wasn't a market for it until we really started accumulating huge volumes of it. And then more recently, there was a formal waste law passed that it financially incentivizes trying to valorize products and produce recyclables, et cetera. So when we started, it was just a totally foreign concept in the Dominican Republic. And so some of our homeowners, which were coming from the United States and Canada and Europe, or were visiting hotels, they were more accustomed to this, but locally it was brand new. And so it took a lot of work to get people to really understand that this wasn't just some greenwashing, that we were having them separated. We weren't actually going to recycle the material, or we weren't going to actually compost the material. And that's still a challenge today. We really have people that just don't believe that this happens. I could take people over to our waste valorization center and see the infrastructure there and see the sorting belt and see our compost facility, which is a pretty significant investment, show them videos and people. It's just very difficult to get people to wrap their minds around that this is happening in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
And so I think the culture shift is starting to happen. I think we're starting to become a more diverse community, a lot more expats that have moved down here, and they're really hungry for the possibility of handling their garbage more sustainably, and they're enthusiastic about it. Another key piece is that we've really put a lot of effort into working at local schools, particularly the Punta Cana International School, where we have some influence. It's part of our foundation. We go and do all kinds of programs with local school. We try and incorporate them because the kids then become sort of evangelizers at home, convincing their parents that it's really important to separate the waste and it's really important to have organics here and the other material somewhere else. Like even last week, started exploring setting up a compost facility, aerated static bin at the school so that the kids can learn how to do compost. They can learn how this works. It's not smelly. It doesn't have to be gross. It can actually be something that's pretty easy to handle. So I think one thing is really working with the kids and having them become sort of your evangelizers of compost and classifying waste. Another thing has been working a lot with the kitchens and finding incentives so that people, their performance in the hotel and the way that we grade the KPIs or the key performance indicators for the hotels and for the restaurants has a component that includes proper waste management and separating the waste. And so when people start to see that it's an actual priority for the company, it's something they need to think about, then it becomes a much easier process.
I did get to visit the Dominican a couple times now. And the first time I went was in Santo Domingo. And I remember going to a park and there was families all around having picnics, which was beautiful. And I watched one by one as the families leave, the picnic blankets just get shaken out, all the leftover trash and everything just left behind in the park. It was such a shocking thing to see just from where we are and the different things. But then I realized they have a team of park employees that every day would go and pick up the trash at the end of the day. What a tricky road to get the culture to shift, where if that's what you're used to doing, to think about, wow, separating out things and just, it seemed like a massive feat to me to change that sort of culture. And I'm glad to see it's shifting. And you're right, absolutely right, that it's with the children learning at home and bringing that into the next generation that shifts, that culture shifts.
And I think there has to be, kind of in the United States, the process of there has to be kind of a penalty or some kind of disincentive to bad behavior. So in the United States, if you get caught littering, it's a $500 fine and it's actually enforced pretty well. And then it's encouraged that there's trash cans everywhere and there's trash pickup and there's, you know, incentives for people to really do the right thing. And I think we're getting there. You know, we're a few years behind in the Dominican Republic. When I got here 20 years ago, there was no traffic tickets for speeding. Now there's cops out and they're stopping people for speeding. And so I think things like this will come along, especially as you realize we're in a tourism economy. Shocked as you were, most tourists feel the exact same way. Like they can't believe the amount of trash that's in the street or if there's littering or that people just throw their bottles around. So I think there's a culture shift that's going to happen over time.
Yeah. And I realized too, it wasn't out of malice or I'm going to be a litter bug. It was just the culture. It was different mindsets. Yeah, but it is shifting. I then have been to Cabarete in the northern part of the Dominican, and my dad would go walk the beach every day and pick up trash. And many local people would commend him and stop him at the grocery store and say, oh, I see you, Poppy. You're the one who picks up the trash on the beach. And it was acknowledged. You know, there's a shift there. There's a real environmental push in that area too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll change. And I think part of it will be the influence of folks that are coming from other cultures that have a much more sophisticated way of managing garbage. And I think part of it be a pride of country as well. People just realize our country looks nicer when it's not covered in garbage and there's not food laying around.
It's such a beautiful place. Great. Okay. So I assume your resort has sustainability goals and this must help with that. Can you talk about how that impact has been and is it going to continue to be a focus in the future to really reduce that waste?
Yeah, absolutely. Our company's been around almost 56 years. It's primarily Dominican owned. And just from the very early days, had a big focus on what is now called sustainability. When we got started by declaring a private ecological reserve and setting aside an actual park that was going to be privately run, setting up a foundation. We now manage 3 schools, health clinics. And we have a huge facility we're building right now. It's almost completed. The Center for Marine Innovation, where we're doing coral restoration work and all kinds of work on the coast for protecting marine habitats. And garbage is sort of just another piece of our sustainability puzzle. And it's incredibly important because we have residents coming, we have people buying property, we have visitors from other countries and coming to stay at our hotels. So garbage is a very important focus point, but it's just part of a bigger platform for sustainability for our company. And something that as we've moved now into other properties outside of Punta Cana, so we're now working on developing a property up in an area called Miches, and we have a partnership on a place in Ubero Alto, which is another community near here, and even in the south part of the Dominican Republic, a property called Punta Arena. We're trying to bring those same sustainability values with us wherever we go and wherever we have future development. So it's a big part of the DNA of the country. There's a huge investment behind it by the company, something we take very seriously. Garbage is an important piece of it. And I think composting is new to the Dominican Republic. It's not very common. I think we were some of the early leaders in compost when we got started. And I think it's become much more common now. You see resorts looking at this as an option. There is even a company in Santo Domingo that does a collection around private residences and restaurants where they're picking up garbage and organic material and processing it. And they have a distribution of containers. So you're starting to see this become a real thing in the Dominican Republic.
That's awesome. Where on your facility is the earth flow located? I'm always curious about this because I love when it's like out front and center where people can see it and really see where everything's going and also understand if it's in the back, you know, 40.
Yeah.
But I like compost to be the center of, you know, the activity and hub and make it part of something we see all the time.
Yeah, I agree. If it was up to me, we would have put it in the entrance of the resort. But obviously, that's not the first thing people are hoping to see when they come to the Caribbean. It's actually inside of the airport perimeter. And that's strategic because about 5 tons a day, between 2 and 5 tons a day, depending on the season, is hazardous material coming off the airplane. And so we have an autoclave with a sterilization unit where we process all of that material coming off the airplanes, which is kind of international waste that we have to process differently. And so originally our whole facility was built within the airport perimeter so that material could come right off airplanes and out of the terminal and come to this facility. And then we expanded it to include what's coming out of the resort and out of other areas close by. And so it's not exactly front and center. Okay. And, you know, compost on its own, especially the earth flow, can look pretty cool and be attractive. And waste sorting is a kind of a different deal. It's not quite as attractive. Bags and bags, some days 10 tons or 15 tons piled up of garbage bags that needs to be opened and sorted. And that's not usually front of the house.
Yep. And are there pests? I'm not even sure. Are there rodents, like rats and things in the Dominican? Are you dealing with any pests, seagulls, that kind of thing?
Yeah. And we have a kind of a covered warehouse where the sorting facility is. So we do have some rats. We have to have programs for that. And not so much with seagulls and birds, maybe like very small birds and things that are just kind of hanging around. But we don't have a big issue. And the idea of our facility is basically this material comes in, gets sorted the same day, gets packaged as recyclables and gets moved out for export as fast as possible. Okay. And the organics get moved over to the compost area, which is directly adjacent to the waste valorization facility, as fast as possible as well. So we're not trying to have a lot of garbage built up there, specifically because it's inside the airport. We're under the regime of the Ministry of Agriculture for quarantine. And so there's a lot of considerations in terms of safety and management of hazardous materials for the airport.
It's so much more than just composting that you're doing. And usually I can like really just dig into compost, but there's like just so many more layers to what you've got going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would love to see this model and more resorts adopting composting. What's like the one big piece of advice you would give for a resort manager looking to start in this, in separations and compost making? Besides knowing your feedstocks, but there's got to be other things to consider there. What's the big thing?
I think a lot of times what happens in hotels is the manager doesn't realize that this is an actual job. This is a full-time responsibility. So often the sustainability programs in general get kind of shuttled off to the maintenance department or public relations department. And garbage isn't like that. Like garbage is every single day. And compost is, you got to have somebody who's paying attention, is on top of it. It can get away from you pretty fast if not. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to have a dedicated commitment to this over time. You know, and I think people sometimes try to simplify it and say, yeah, this couldn't be complicated. Let's just put a little bit of money into it and then doesn't work so well and they abandon it. And I think you have to take this stuff seriously. It's a real job. It's going to take some oversight. And then I think besides that, just get started. You know, so many times we get this like a paralysis from analysis, like, should we do it? Shouldn't we do it? Like, even if you start at a very small scale, which is what we did with worm composting back in 2007, when we were only handling a tiny little bit of material, and then we started growing, and then we started commercializing the worm compost. And it really encouraged us and gave us some expertise of handling these materials and knowing what to look out for, how to problem solve while you had a project moving. And then you just build up confidence as you continue to scale and add more materials and more volume and really become a much more commercial operation. So I think you don't have to have the finished product and the earth flow or whatever technology you're going to use on day one. You can start learning and piloting and testing, which is something that, you know, we believe in a lot. And then the other thing is companies often are not enthusiastic about sharing their experiences. And we've used our foundation really as the focus and vocal point of what we've learned and what we would suggest. And maybe worm composting would work for your project, but for us, it's a very small scale thing. Whereas an earth flow is something that we feel is much more commercially viable. I think each situation is going to be totally different, and we're willing to share the information, and hopefully other companies or other groups that get into this will be willing to come on your show and share what they've learned and what didn't work.
Yeah, that's great. So take it seriously, have a real team doing it, but don't overcomplicate it. Get started. That's awesome. You can start with just a little, you don't even need a bin or anything. You can just have a pile on the ground. You know, that's a good way to get started. And the vermicompost seems like a great foot in the door just to start. So awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I even do composting at home, even though we have this kind of facility. And I know that if I was to set it aside and send it, it would go straight to our compost facility. But I use it as a lesson with my kids and my family. And we set aside our own food waste in the kitchen, and then we do compost in the backyard. And it's a good way to learn. And I've learned a lot doing it on my own as opposed to doing it as like a work project.
Yeah, it's super satisfying. Yeah. Gets to the point where you like, you're looking, you go somewhere and you're looking what to do with your banana peel. You end up taking it home with you.
Right. To my wife's horror. But yes, exactly.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to add? Anything else you want to say for today? That was excellent. You covered everything.
I think it's been an amazing experience. I think compost is an incredibly satisfying thing. I think so often people focus so much on the issue of the day. Right now, everybody talks about plastics and getting plastics and changing plastics. And when I look at it, of our waste flow, plastic is 10 to maybe 12% of the total. And a lot of that material is commercially valuable. So if we're able to capture it and, you know, compact it and get it in somebody's hands, not ideal, but it can be turned into something else. Whereas compost, organic food waste and organic waste, that's like 50 to 60% of the total. And it's a much more reasonable thing to turn it into compost. It's more cost effective. It's a useful product at the end. The impact for climate is much higher. The impact of protecting groundwater, public health, all these things that it adds value to, if you couldn't do anything else, but you could compost, you would still be having a net positive. And no matter how bad your environmental practices were, I feel like you could be doing a major contribution if you were composting at home or at work or however you could.
Absolutely. And just to think about being on an island, and if that all of that organic matter is just going into a pit somewhere rather than being returned back into the earth, it's so wasteful. So it's awesome that the composting initiative is really starting up there. So awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today, Jake. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
so much gratitude to Jake Keel for sharing the inspiring work happening at Grupo Punta Cana and for showing us what's possible when composting is integrated into the heart of a community, even one as complex as a resort with an airport, a whole ecosystem. There's lots more to come this season, from longtime composters across the U.S. to emerging voices from around the globe. Thank you to Galen and Yasna Brown for all sorts of support, Isadora Biggs for being a great assistant, and Pete Hamilton for editing these episodes and making it all sound so smooth. If you want to show off your compost pride, check out the new Composter Podcast merch now available on the EarthCare Farm website. You can also follow the show on Instagram at Composter Podcast to stay in the loop between episodes. Thanks again to our wonderful sponsors, AgriLab Technology. You can find them at agrilabtech.com/podcast and Compost Systems of Austria at compost-systems.com. I'll see you compost lovers in 2 weeks for more compost talk.